If you have your Bibles, make your way to Matthew chapter 13 as we continue our series in the parables of Jesus. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who has sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in the field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then later on, his disciples would ask him what this means. When the crowds left, he went to the house, and his disciples came to him saying, 'Explain this parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and law breakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.'" Last week, we began this sermon series in the parables, and there's a phrase called the kingdom of heaven. Now, in the New Testament, that began, Jesus said, by the sowing of the word of Jesus, the words of Christ, into four different soils. And that will continue even to this day. The kingdom of heaven is made up of all of those who profess and possess allegiance to King Jesus. His reign is in your heart, and it is good soil because of your faith and trust in Jesus alone. So, each parable that Jesus gives exposes a little more of the truth of what that kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, looks like in this age. Until, of course, when Jesus comes back. See, the disciples were constantly wondering about the kingdom of God. They wondered about it a lot. And the reason they did is, as Jews, they learned from the Old Testament what God's kingdom would look like. So, for example, in Ezekiel chapter 20, God's kingdom will destroy the enemies of God. In Ezekiel 20, Ezekiel prophesies, I will purge out, meaning God will purge out the rebels among you. This is what the Jews were looking for in their Messiah. Get rid of our enemies. Wipe them out. Those who transgress against me, I will bring them out of the land where they sojourn, but they shall not enter the land of Israel. And all of Jews are like, we want this now. Get them out of our land. And then you will know that I am the Lord. Now, this is a true statement from Ezekiel. This will happen, but not in this age. This is what the disciples had to learn, and they didn't know. They needed to understand things like what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 31. He says, for this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is what's happening today. His kingdom is the reign in the believers' hearts. And this kingdom reigns until he comes back again. See, the disciples, the Jews, they wanted their enemies wiped out. If Jesus was the Messiah, wipe out our enemies. Do what Ezekiel did, Jesus. Wipe them out. Even after Jesus rose from the grave and spent time with his disciples, they still had this on their minds. Look at Acts chapter 1. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? Let me paraphrase. Jesus, are you going to wipe out the enemies now? Are you going to get rid of them? Jesus, with these parables, is explaining what the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, looks like until he comes again. So we come to this parable, and the disciples, again, they want to get rid of everyone that's their enemy. Destroy them. And yet Jesus needed to remind them through these parables that they had a job to do when he leaves. They needed to make disciples when he leaves, not wipe everyone out. So the parable, like last week's, is correcting an understanding of the kingdom of heaven. So let's dive in. Again, each of these parables, like the three soils last week, there were four, but three of the soils were people that just don't believe. So in the kingdom today, there will be people that just won't believe what Jesus says. And that is true even today. There will be lots of opposition to the message of God. This is going to be the norm. Lots of people are not going to believe in Jesus. And Jesus doesn't just wipe them out. And he needed the disciples to know this. Jesus has a plan. And they need to keep in their mind and in their hearts what they were supposed to do. So let's take a look at the parable. The first, the sower of the good seed. I'm going to kind of walk through this just as an explanation. Again, the sower of the good seed is Jesus. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. Verse 37. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Jesus, and only Jesus, sows good seeds. He has the message of life. And he plants that seed in us. Praise God. The field and the seed The field and the seed is the world and the followers of Christ, or the good seed. Look at verse 38 again. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. All of the nations of this world, every tribe, every tongue, everywhere in this world is God's field. And throughout the world, he is planting good seeds. Amen? That way you could go to Italy right now. And I would encourage you to do so. Great place. And there are believers there that believe the same Jesus of the Bible saved them from their sins just as they do in Altoona, Iowa. So the field and the seed, these good seeds, it says, are the kings or the sons of the kingdom. Genuine followers of Jesus Christ. The good seed was this trust, and reliance in Jesus' work for the forgiveness of their sins. The result, of course, when you do this, is eternity. And, until he calls you home, a transformed life that produces fruit, pointing others to Jesus. So, now we come to really the main point of why this parable was given. Hence why it's called the parable of the weeds. Some of your translations say the parable of the tares. So let's learn about these weeds. Well, these weeds, these tares, are fake Christians. Why are they fake Christians? Well, look at verse 38 with me. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil ones. We can call them fake Christians. These are unbelievers. We know that they're not believers because how they got there. Well, how did they get there? Look at verse 25. While the men were sleeping, the enemy sowed these weeds amongst the wheat. Look at verse 39. The enemy sowed them is the devil. That's how they got there. The evil one, the devil, planted them. We'll come back to the devil here in a little bit, but let's talk about the weeds for a minute. Why are these weeds, these tares, considered fake Christians? Why not just unbelievers in general that just hate Jesus? Well, there's a reason. See, the weeds or the tares are a very common weed in the Palestinian area that we're talking about, or that Jesus is talking about. Usually these weeds, they'll grow along ditches on the sides of the road, but not commonly growing inside the field. So what was surprising to these workers is the volume of these weeds in the field. This wasn't normal. Something happened. By the way, in Palestine, there's actually a law against doing this very thing to your neighbor's farms. It was such a common practice because you were in such competition of selling your wheat that often the enemy, other farmers, would go in and sow weeds in your field. So they passed a law. If you got caught doing this, it was bad news. So again, in Palestine or with this parable, you'd actually kind of understand what Jesus is saying here. So that is why the question was asked, who did this? We got to find out. They're breaking the law. This is a serious problem. It's a serious problem as well because they're tares. Not just weeds. They're tares. Some call them darnels. They are called this because these tares look so much like wheat, you can barely tell the difference. Can you tell the difference? They are so similar. So what's the point? Well, remember, Jesus is teaching his disciples about the kingdom and what it looks like on earth. So Jesus says the evil one is going to sow people that say they are Christians that look exactly like wheat to confuse you, to make your life harder, to make those that need to hear the true gospel more difficult. These fake Christians will always be among us. And it's very hard to know the difference. They will confuse people. And they will confuse people about what the gospel actually means. So the answer to these weeds, of course, normally is just pull them up. Right, you gardeners? You see a weed, you pull a weed. That's what we normally do with weeds. So what do we do now? And that's what the workers were asking. If I see a weed, Jesus, do I just go pull them up? Let's wipe them out. Let's get rid of all the weeds. Let's get some Roundup. That's the disciples' mindset. If I see someone who doesn't believe, wipe them out. And Jesus is telling him that's not how it works. I'll take care of it. That's not your job. The kingdom of earth, the kingdom of God on earth will be made until the end of this age of true Christians and fake Christians. And you won't be able to tell the difference. Even amongst Jesus' own disciples, they didn't know Judas was a weed. How are they going to tell if someone professes Jesus but doesn't possess Jesus? Look at verses 28 through 30 again. He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and wipe them out? But he said, no. Lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. See, you don't know the difference. God does. Let them both grow together into the harvest, or until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barns. And again in verse 39, the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. You can't wipe out the weeds. That's my job. The reapers are the angels. The weeds are gathered and burned with fire. So it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels and they'll gather out the kingdom, all causes of sin and lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. This is hell. This is the lake of fire. And you think there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I feel so bad for them. No, the idea of weeping and gnashing of teeth is these people hated God and they still hate God. Weeping and gnashing means they're shaking their fist at God. I hate you! That's the idea of weeping and gnashing. They're angry at God. Here's the crazy thing about tares, these weeds. This is why it makes such a great illustration from Jesus. See, at the very end of the growth, the wheat and the tares look exactly the same until the end. And the tares show their true colors. They don't produce fruit. And Jesus is saying, God will take care of it. The disciples just want to wipe out everyone. And so do we, don't we? It's a good lesson for all of us. It's a good lesson for me specifically. My heart has been so angry at unbelievers. People that profess a false gospel, a fake gospel. And I'm like, just wipe them out, Lord. And Jesus says, that's not how the kingdom of heaven works right now. You just keep telling people about Jesus and what he did on the cross. And Greg, there will always be weeds. By the way, we were all weeds once. Aren't you glad God didn't wipe you out? For 26 years, I was not only on weed, I was a weed. That just came to me, sorry. I thought it kind of went. Get serious now. Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That's me. Before I knew Christ, and among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. Thank goodness he didn't wipe us out. But God. That's what the disciples had to learn. Being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. This is such a good lesson for the disciples and for us. We want God to wipe out the unbelievers. Yet they are our mission field. Until Jesus comes back, he will take care of those who believe and those who don't. So let's talk about the devil for a second. What do we know about the devil? Well, remember last week in the parable of the sower, Satan tried to oppose the kingdom of God by trying to snatch out the word, the words of Christ, on the ones that were on the hard path or the hard soil, the hard heart. Matthew 13, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path, the hard path. Look at verse 39. Again, the devil's mentioned. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. Again, Jesus said the devil will sow counterfeits, fake IDs. Speaking of which, back in the day, before Jesus saved me and changed my heart, I used to make fake IDs so people could get into the bars. By the way, that's how I met Laura. She's in the threes, doesn't know this joke. I'm just saying, that's how we met. Again, not a prescription on how to meet girls, but a description of God's grace in our lives. Here's my point. I do have a point about that. How do you know if my fake ID is a fake ID? Well, you study a real one. When you did, you would really see how bad my ID was. Jesus can tell a fake ID because he knows the real ones. He planted them. Satan is the great fake ID maker. And what he produces is what Jesus is talking about in the parable, weeds. Also notice Satan goes into the field but he can't uproot the good seed. Those are the true Christians. So instead, he doesn't have the power to uproot a good seed. He can only go in and plant weeds, fake Christians, in their midst. Why? Why does the devil do this? Because he hates God. That's why. He hates God's field. He hates God's creation. He hates you. If he can confuse us on what it means to truly be wheat, he will win you. Not because he loves you, but because God does. It's your choice. Satan seems to try and counterfeit everything, by the way. As mentioned by Jesus, Paul knew of this, these fake Christians. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 on frequent journeys in danger from rivers and robbers and dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, and what? Danger from false brothers. Fake Christians. Satan fakes the gospel. Paul writes in Galatians, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you to the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some of who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if an angel from heaven, where'd Satan come from? Should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one that we preach to you, let him be an anathema, accursed, damned. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be damned. Even Satan himself is called the Antichrist, against Christ. Paul writes in Thessalonica, to the church in Thessalonica, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness, that's the devil, is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Antichrist. Fake Christ. In this world, many declare Satan doesn't exist. Make no mistake, he is sowing weeds. But remember, he can't pull the wheat. He can only sow weeds. 1 John 4:4 says this, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he that is in this world. Amen? So what's the application? Well, the application for the disciples is the same for us. We must learn about what the kingdom of heaven looks like until Jesus comes back. And our mindset shouldn't be, wipe them out. It should be, let's get to work. Evangelize. Live out your faith in Jesus until he comes back or calls you home. Because we were all once weeds. Those that us have trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Maybe we shouldn't be so quick to wipe people out. That's God's business, not ours. Our job is to share the true gospel, and God will plant the seed. Number two, as application, Jesus talks a lot about Satan. So you darn well better recognize there is a work of the devil. You don't have to be afraid, but recognize he's working. Because Jesus does. He is real. No matter what the world tries to convince you. And he is sowing weeds. And then finally, we just need to listen. That's what he says in verse 34. The righteousness will shine, the believer will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, let him hear. If some of you are saying, listen, I'm not a tare, I'm a wheat. Then you better listen. Because that's who Jesus is talking to. You are to coexist in a world and to influence it for good. But not be influenced by it. You are to be used to reach the weeds. Not condemn this world. Not to blast it. But to point people to Jesus. God will take care of the blasting. I'm going to do something I can't remember the last time I've ever done this. But let me ask you something. I want you to bow your heads and just close your eyes. With your head bowed for just a moment, if you were to look at your life and you know that you truly don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, but you want to be a child in his kingdom. You no longer want to be a child of the wicked one. You want to know more about this Jesus. Would you just slip up your hand? Praise the Lord. With everyone's head bowed. Listen, this world is a battlefield. But we already know who won. For those that don't know you, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. To those that raise their hand, I would say do this in your heart. Don't just repeat the prayer, but in your heart, confess, Jesus is my Lord. That he died for all of my sins. That he rose from the dead to declare victory for me from my greatest of enemies, sin, Satan, and death. And I ask you, Jesus, to please come into my heart. Give me a new one. Come into my life and save me. If that's your prayer, the Bible says very clearly, truly, from your heart, that you are born again, and let us help you to grow. And then for the rest of us that do know you, let us keep our eyes open to the field that we're in and be a testimony and a witness to the people Jesus you are reaching. God, what a mission. And we thank you. For it's in God's name, in Jesus' name, we pray. And all God's people said, let's stand. Where are my singers? They still had their heads down. Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand as we close in one final song?